one of the most memorable and impactful lines of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech is his invocation of the prophet Amos. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Dr. King introduces these words of the prophet to close a section with the repeated refrain, "We cannot be satisfied." Each repetition of the phrase describes a different oppression that Black Americans face, reaching its climax with Dr. King's charge that protest against injustice cannot rest until justice and righteousness are as prevalent and unambiguous as the mighty waters. In the context of the speech, the metaphor is a poetic description of the goals for Dr. King's nonviolent movement. In its original context, however, in the words of Amos, the charge is far more radical. Here's how Amos says it. "Ah, you who wish for the day of Hashem, why should you want the day of Hashem? It shall be darkness, not light, as if someone were to run from a lion and get attacked by a bear, or upon making it indoors, were to lean their hand on the wall and get bitten by a snake. Surely the day of God shall not be light, but darkness. If you offer me burnt offerings or your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will pay no heed to your gifts of fatlings. Spare me the sound of your hymns, and let me not hear the music of your lutes, but let justice well up like water, righteousness like an unfailing stream." The prophet Amos tells the people of Israel that the redemption they are hoping for will in fact be a day of destruction. Darkness, not light. Rather than accepting their offerings, God will punish them with an overwhelming flow of justice. The mighty stream that Dr. King describes is, at least in its original context, not merely a hope for the future, but a threat, and a violent one at that. Set in the midst of the most famous speech of one of the most famous and influential ambassadors of nonviolent resistance, the verse sounds, to those who hear its original biblical echoes, distressingly out of place. If we want to take Dr. King's charge seriously, in the full prophetic context, then, we have to understand it as one that calls for radical change. Indeed, elsewhere in the speech, Dr. King invokes another prophet, Yeshayahu, to do just that. "I have a dream," says Dr. King, "that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." In its own biblical context, in Isaiah chapter 40, these words are meant to, quote, "clear in the desert a road for God, level in the wilderness a highway for our God." We know that in order to build, one must sometimes tear down. This truism is even embedded in the laws of Shabbat, where one of the biblically forbidden labors is destroying in order to build. There are times when, in order to build the road for God, one must first make low the hills and mountains. This is a frightening truth, and one that Dr. King deliberately deploys. Taking his message seriously, then, means understanding that sometimes justice requires painful changes to society. But just as we must attend to the biblical context of these verses if we want to faithfully read I Have a Dream, we also cannot divorce Dr. King's use of these verses from his larger commitment to nonviolence, an equally important context for a faithful reading. Holding both of these contexts in our heads and hearts means recognizing both that even radical change, when needed, must be nonviolent, and that even nonviolent resistance to oppression can be painful. I also take guidance from a reading of Amos that I think is consonant with this nuanced understanding of systemic change and nonviolence. Though it's not the original meaning of the word in its biblical context, Jewish sources often read the word tzedakah, righteousness, as referring to an act of unmerited generosity or kindness. For example, the Mar Yechezkel, a Hasidic author, discussing the Amidah's blessing about justice, comments, "Treat us favorably in judgment, v'tzadkenu b'mishpat," which implies that even though we are not deserving, God should perform tzedakah that is not demanded by the law, Lifni Mishuras Hadin. Reading this connotation into the verse from Amos, we find a day on which justice will well up like water and unmerited generosity like an unfailing stream. On its face, this appears to be an internal contradiction. How can there be justice when there is unmerited generosity in judgment? Yet we know that this is always necessary. The strict letter of the law may call for painful consequences when society is dipped to oppressive lows. Yet both the prayer for justice in the Amidah and this reading of the prophet Amos ask that strict judgment be tempered by understanding and forgiveness. Neither is possible without the other. Mishpat requires tzedakah, and tzedakah requires mishpat. On this Martin Luther King Day, we pray that we, as God's servants, will do what we must to bring about justice, and that that justice will always be tempered with the same love for others that God shows us when God judges us mercifully. That is indeed, as Dr. King writes in his letter from a Birmingham jail, an extremist position, in the most beautiful sense, demanding both justice and generosity, both tzedakah and mishpat.